Gossipnista here, your one and only source into the real lives of New Yorkers and what it's like to live in New York City. So is it all glitz and glamour? Where do you start? What should you know? And who am I? I'll tell you everything you need to know, and you'll thank me for it. XOXO, Gossipnista. Hello, and welcome to the Gossipnista podcast. I'm your host, Mariana Monks, and on today's episode, guys, we're diving into what many would consider the ideal or even dream living scenario in New York City's Manhattan's Upper West Side neighborhood with native New Yorker Hattie Culp as my guest. Okay, so Hattie has had the luxury of growing up in her childhood home in one of the most expensive cities in the U.S. We know this, NYC, right? And not so much because she necessarily owns her childhood home, but because her apartment is rent stabilized. And she essentially gets to pay 1/4 of what the market rate is for her apartment, essentially for the rest of her life if she chooses to stay in it. Okay, big wow there. Now, how much is she paying today? She'll actually reveal this and so much more in our conversation, so stay tuned. And let's add to the equation that her apartment is a beautiful brownstone building in one of Manhattan's most desired neighborhoods, and that it's 1,500 square feet. That is a lot of square footage in New York City. It essentially equates to what 3 to 4 average size New York City apartments combined would be. And so that is what we called the golden ticket here in New York City. Now, last week, I want to mention this. We talked to Bethany Braun Silva on episode 50, Raising New Yorkers, and we touched upon her rent-controlled apartment, which is essentially known as the unicorn in the city. The unicorn status of apartments, hard to get a hold of, nearly impossible to get. Today, Hattie will walk us through the difference between a rent-stabilized apartment, which she has, and how it differs to a rent-controlled apartment, which Bethany has. And although these apartments may seem elusive to get here in the city, Hattie notes it's not impossible. So she'll also dive into her incredible New York story, of course, her upbringing as a native New Yorker, and how she essentially hit fame and influencer status due to her pre-war Gilded Age gem of an apartment and decorating chops. So be sure to follow me on Instagram at Gossipnista Podcast, because I have a little surprise video coming to you with regards to Hattie's home. And in the show notes, I've also linked how you may be able to find a rent stabilized apartment if that's something you're looking for. Additionally, one last thing, I wanted to include the New York government neighborhood crime map. So based on the borough or neighborhood you want to live in, it kind of gives you a heated map zone of, you know, what's redder versus what's not and where crime uptake is within any particular neighborhood, so that you're able to make the choices where you feel more comfortably and are living your best life in New York City. So without further ado, here's my interview with Hattie Culp. Hey, Hattie, I am really happy to have you on the podcast. You are a person that in New York City has the golden ticket, is what I'm told, right?
Yeah.
And how are you today? Welcome.
I'm so good. Thank you for having me. This is my first podcast ever, so I'm so excited.
I am so happy to hear that. You did not tell me, so I'm happy to hear this. Welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I have so many questions for you. But let's start this off where I always do, and that is just wanting to learn about you, your New York story, and wanting to know, are you a New Yorker? Were you born in New York, or are you coming from somewhere else?
Yes, I am a born and raised New Yorker. I was born in Lenox Hill Hospital. That's on the Upper East Side. That's where Beyonce had her babies. Obviously, I was born a little bit before that, and born and raised on the then Upper West Side.
Wow. Okay. Born on the Upper East Side.
Grew up on the Upper West Side, born and
Yes.
raised New Yorker. I am loving everything I'm hearing. Okay, so tell us, what has life been being a native New Yorker, growing up as a native New Yorker?
I've always felt so grateful for being born here and that my parents chose to stay here. There was a brief time when I was about in first grade when my dad was really pushing for us to buy a house upstate. And I remember going to look at schools upstate and touring some houses. And they might have even put an offer on a house,
Oh.
but I remember at the last minute, my mom was just like, I cannot do it. Like, the not city life is not for me. And I have always been so grateful for that. I think growing up in New York is like, it's been such a gift for me. And I always knew, even as a little kid, like, I knew it was just so cool. So, I've gone through like highs and lows with it throughout my life, but overall, I'm so grateful for it.
Wow, grateful for your mom making that last minute decision. That is awesome. And were your parents originally from New York, or did they?
No, they're both from the South, kind of. My mom grew up in Richmond, and my dad grew up in New Orleans. And then my dad ended up in New York because he went to Columbia for grad school. And my mom ended up in New York because her grandparents lived here. They had this amazing, like, sprawling apartment on Park Avenue that I know, unfortunately, is not in the family anymore. She grew up visiting here all the time to visit her grandparents, and she really fell in love with it. And then when she went to college, she majored in art history. So then, right after college, she moved here and she started working in galleries. And then my parents met about 10 years later.
Wow, that's a wonderful story to hear. Thank you for sharing that, and the fact that you had another home in the family for a second there on Park Avenue.
Oh, I
So was that in the family for a while or
know.
no?
I'm not sure. I should talk to my mom more about it because I knew her mom, my grandma, grew up in Beverly Hills in LA, and then at some point her parents moved over to the East Coast. I'm not sure if they had family here, but yeah, they had this amazing apartment. And back in the day, it wasn't as expensive as it sounds like it would be, but they both died when my mom was a kid, so it's not like there wasn't anybody to take over that apartment. So unfortunately, it's gone, but sometimes I cry and I think of what could have been.
But it makes sense, though, why your mom has such a love for the city and why she also chose to stay. So thank you for again sharing that story. I went a little deeper than I usually do, but truly appreciate that. And so, okay, you're a raised and born New Yorker on the Upper West Side. Have you always just been on the Upper West Side? Have you moved around? Tell us about that. What neighborhoods have you explored in the city?
No, I've always lived on the Upper West Side. I went away. I left New York for college. I went to school in LA. I just wanted a change of scene. And then right after graduation, I came right back and I just lived at home for a few years as I was working a few very low-paying teaching jobs. And then my parents left the city when they retired, and now I'm still currently living in that apartment that I grew up in.
Oh my gosh, and that's what we're talking about. You living in your family home and telling us the whole history about that, which we'll dive into our second segment. But you said something there that caught my attention. I don't know if you know, but I'm from LA. That's where I moved from, the city. So
I didn't know
I want to hear your perspective, the difference between, the West Coast and East Coast. There's this whole, yeah, let me know.
I mean, so many differences. I wanted to go for the weather. Winters in New York are hard. They're not even that bad, but they're just not that pleasant. And I just wanted to get away for college, and LA seemed like a great place to go. I do love it. I think it was great for that time in my life. Being able to just go to the beach in January and talking to all my friends who went to school in the Northeast and did not have that luxury. That was great, but I felt like I'm just a city girl through and through, and LA to me, it doesn't have that like metropolitan city vibe. It's more, it's a driving city. So I think also like when I went to college, I didn't even have my driver's license. I got it the next summer. And so people in LA were like, what do you mean you don't know how to drive?
Yeah.
So it was a culture shock, and I really enjoyed it for my time there, but ultimately I just felt pulled back to New York.
Okay, cool. And do you drive in the city? Like,
I don't have a car, but you know, sometimes I rent a car if I'm leaving the city, and I'll drive, but you know, driving in the city isn't the best.
It's definitely a lot more scary. And I mean, me coming from LA, New York is just so much more crazier. I appreciate, again, you sharing that aspect there. All right. So always on the Upper West Side, a little stint there. And tell me specifically, like, what are things you like and dislike about New York City?
I feel like the things I dislike about it are also, I kind of love them because it's like a love-hate relationship. Obviously, you know, the subways are disgusting and they can be so dirty and crowded. And just sometimes you were just not in the mood to deal with that. But I always think of, you know, what's the alternative? If I didn't live here and I wasn't taking the subway, I would probably be just in a car. And that's pretty boring, I think. It, you know, the subway, for as unpleasant as it can be at times, it's so fun when those like bands come on and start playing the guitar and playing the music. So I think like I go through waves, and there's some days that I definitely just like don't want any part of it. But I do think it's really what gives New York its character. Growing up, I think something I struggled with New York City was, until you are old enough to, you know, go outside, go on the subway by yourself, which we started doing at about like fourth, fifth grade, about 10 years old, you really have no independence or freedom, because you can't just like go outside and play in the neighborhood, you know? So
you really,
right, exactly. You really don't get to go out at all without your parents when you're a little kid. And growing up, we had a weekend house that was about an hour and a half north of the city. And so I did get a little bit of that life, but I definitely went through a phase where on Sunday nights, I guess I would just have the Sunday scaries, and I would get really upset about going back to the city and kind of losing that freedom. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, once I was old enough to go around by myself, that wore off.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, it's good though that you kind of had, you know, that balance of a little bit of sprawling nature versus you know, city life. And now that you noted, I'm curious, you know, you don't have to say specifically where, but like, give us general feel of the Upper West Side, the general area you live in. Like like if someone doesn't know the Upper West Side, like define it for us.
Okay. So the Upper West Side, I'm obviously biased, but even if I didn't live here, I would still choose to live here. I just, I love it so much. There's two parks on either side. So there's Central Park on the east side, and then there's Riverside Park and the Hudson River on the west side. So you're, wherever you are on the Upper West Side, you're nowhere more than like a 5-minute walk from either of these really huge, beautiful parks. And there's lots of restaurants and much less mom and pop shops than there were back in the 90s when I was growing up, but there are still a few, and it's just, there's still a lot to do, but it's away from that kind of like hustle and bustle of like midtown or downtown. Mm-hmm. And it's still, I think, a slightly older crowd than downtown would be. So it's just a lot quieter.
It's also, I know I've done a little research. The Upper West Side is the most celebrity-filled neighborhood, I think, in all of the New York City. Yeah, like just general areas, like, you know, there's the Reno or the St. Regis, like the Dakota, and all these buildings around just the general Upper West Side where celebrities gravitate towards. And I think it's because...
Yeah, people... Mm-hmm. Often ask me if I see celebrities, and I'm like, no, but maybe I just don't notice. I think the difference between celebrities in New York versus like LA celebrities is they just want to be left alone here, and they want to blend in, and they want to just take the subway. And, you know, we don't have that like paparazzi scene out here. So I think it's different. I don't think they want to to be
so
known.
Crazy. I literally just had this conversation with someone saying, them thinking that you see celebrities everywhere in California. And I'm like, no, I did not. Did you? No.
No.
Yeah. It's like, you really have to spot them. You have to be at certain locations that are trendy and so forth. But also, I also speak to New Yorkers here that see celebrities left and right. And I'm like, wait, what? Why am I not seeing anybody ever?
I don't think I would notice. I'm sure I've seen many, but I just don't.
You don't look out for them, just like me. Like, no. You're kind of just like tunnel vision looking, you know, okay. But there is celebrities all over the city. And so regardless of that, let's get back to your story. Okay, so in your perspective, what do you think it means to like be a New Yorker? Like, what makes New York different?
I mean, I think there's so many things that make New York a special place. What comes to mind is there's just everything you could ever need here. Even get down to like really specifics. Like I use this example because I recently did a TikTok video about this, but growing up, like my mom had a lot of vintage clothes that were from her mom. And let's say like a button fell off a coat from the 1940s. There is literally a button store that you can go to that has probably every single button ever created. And you can find that exact button. And you know, you can't get that anywhere else. So I think little special stores like that are what makes New York just like such a cool place.
Magical. That's like, you know, a needle in a haystack. Wait, do you know the name of that button store? Let's give it a shout out. That's so amazing.
That one closed, unfortunately. It was across the street from Bloomingdale's on the upper side. But there is M&J Trimming in the Garment District, and then just a lot of stores in the Garment District. M&J Trimming is really cool, though, because they not only have buttons, but they have ribbons and just like 20-foot tall walls just covered in every ribbon you could ever see. So they're just really fun places to go.
Yeah, no, I think we'll dive into this as we move along, but would you say you have like a vintage soul?
Yes, I think so. I love to mix in modern elements here and there, but my whole life felt like I was maybe born in the wrong time period. I have always been so drawn to like 1800s, 1900s.
Okay. That whole, you know, right now the Gilded Age is the big thing.
It's trending right now, I know.
All right. I love it. Okay. I'm going to ask you advice for people that are looking to make the move to the city, given the pandemic, you know, we're coming out of it. They want to have that New York dream. What advice would you give to them?
Well, it's pretty expensive here. So save your money. It's expensive to get an apartment because you have to pay, you know, a couple months up front. So I would say you should come here with at least 10 grand cash, just kind of ready to go. Aside from that, I think come with an open mind, but also come knowing what your non-negotiables are in terms of where you want to live. Like, would you rather have a charming pre-war apartment, or would you rather have something newer with the dishwasher? Because, you know, dishwashers are a luxury in this city. And I think a lot of people who aren't from here don't realize that. So yeah, know what you want, but be willing to make compromises. And then once you do get here, I think my number one thing is just walk everywhere. I think that's my favorite thing about New York. And that's why I didn't do so well when I was in LA for college, because I couldn't walk anywhere. And I think walking is the best way to get to know the city and all the different neighborhoods. So yeah, just walk.
Such great advice. Yes, that it's a walkable city for a reason. That's how you're going to get to know it. And so two more questions. We'll move into our second segment. But the next one is, you know, you are a native New Yorker. There's so many things that have happened throughout your life, but is there something that you can define as like an only a New York story, whether good or bad, you know?
Yeah. There's probably a few. I'm sure there's probably a few like funny ones that I don't know, but so this is silly, but when I was in elementary school, I went to school in Midtown in Hell's Kitchen. And so we would take the subway and then we would walk down 8th Avenue to get to school. And sometimes when my class would take class trips, we would be walking on the street to go to the subway. And back in the day, Hell's Kitchen was back in the day, like when I was growing up in the 90s and early 2000s, it was a little bit more seedy than it is now, I would say. And it was kind of just lined with these like X shops. And we would just be children walking by these very interesting window displays and just think nothing of it because that's what we saw every day. But I don't think that's what kids in the suburbs get exposed to.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just like quirky, weird things. But I think when you grow up in the city, you just, you see a lot. So nothing really fazes you.
That is so interesting that the teachers wouldn't like take different routes or, you know, I mean,
nobody cares.
Wow, there is New York for you, right? You're definitely not going to get that anywhere else. So thank you for sharing that story there. And to round up this last segment, Addie, is, you know, if you were to sum up New York City into your own personal quote, or maybe one that already exists out of the universe, like what would that be?
I mean, I think for me, the thing that comes to mind is New York or nowhere, because it's really that for me. And I think for a true New Yorker, like everybody kind of resonates with that.
100%. That is the best slogan, right?
To, I love it. I just got, there's a pop-up shop in Soho that's a New York or nowhere shop. And so my best friends and I from growing up, we just went and we all got matching New York or nowhere socks.
Oh, okay. I love it. I thought you were going to say like matching tattoos. That was like going to take it to a whole new level.
That would be a little bit more extreme. We're not quite there.
Gossip Nista here. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I wanted to hop in here to ask that if you haven't yet, if you could please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. This will help me reach more people and spread the word about New York City and those who love it. And if you want to stay up to date, be sure to follow at Gossip Nista Podcast on Instagram. Now, back to the show.
So you have, correct me if I'm wrong, Hattie, you have a rent stabilized apartment in New York City. And this is what is said to be like a golden ticket in New York, meaning you are paying less than the average New Yorker. These are not available for the average person. There's so many stipulations behind it. So before we dive into that, let's start with like a little bit about your background.
Okay.
And then, you know, and then how you came into this beautiful apartment that we're going to talk about.
I guess like career growing up, I was never a big school person. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So by the time it was, you know, going to college, I had no idea what I wanted to major in. So I kind of just picked something like once the pressure was on. And I had worked with kids before. I did like, I was a summer camp counselor and I had babysat. So I guess I'll major in education. So I did. And then I graduated and I got a job in teaching. I was doing that for a few years. And I was like, well, I guess I have to go to grad school because in New York, you need a master's to become a certified teacher. So I went to grad school. I got 3 masters. It took me 3 or 4 years to finish grad school. Anyway, I did it. And then I was teaching for a few more years. I ended up in special ed. Oh, well, like it's fine, but I knew it wasn't my passion and I knew it wasn't what I was meant to do. I had no idea what I wanted to do. In 2018, my parents retired and left the city. And they had been telling me for a long time that that was their plan and that they were going to leave the apartment for me, because it's a rent stabilized apartment, as you said, rent, and I can go into later what rent stabilization means. So once I, you know, this apartment kind of fell into my lap and my parents left me with an empty apartment, literally nothing in here. And so I started furnishing it and painting everything and pretty soon realized that I was really having fun with it and that I really liked interior design and I loved working with my hands and doing kind of like light construction that I've been doing in my apartment. And so my friends were like, you should make an Instagram account so you can document your process. And so I did. And my Instagram kind of started growing and eventually grew into a career for me, which has been so amazing. And so it's really, I've been able to find my passion and I've also been able to make a career out of it, which is just the best. So that's how I got to where I'm at.
In a nutshell, goosebumps and three, you know, master degrees later, I mean, you came into your passion and that is, you know, where you live and you're a verified Instagram account, FYI, for those that obviously can't see this. And so really just doing what you love. So describe and paint a picture of, you know, your child's upbringing home, right? Like describe it to us.
Yeah. So as I said, it's the Upper West Side. We moved to this apartment when I was 10. Earlier, we lived in another apartment on the Upper West Side that was smaller, much smaller, half the size, but actually double the price because it was not rent stabilized. And so my dad's, one of his really good friends and his wife lived in this apartment and they were leaving the city. And so they said, hey, you should take it. So we did. And so the bedroom that I grew up in is now my like library room. So that's the first room when you walk into the apartment, and I have these 8 foot tall bookshelves with lots of books and treasures on them. And then you walk through these pocket doors and there's the living room and then another set of pocket doors and the main bedroom. And then there's this really long hallway that goes kind of down like the back end of the apartment, which leads into a very old school butler's pantry, which I have painted dark green, and it has all original cabinetry. It has a dumb waiter. And then there is a small kitchen and bathroom. And then you walk back down the hallway and you're in the foyer, which is the entryway. And so my building was built in 1890, something like that.
Wow.
And it is pretty not updated at all. So some of the apartments that are not rent stabilized have been upgraded and they're just, it's kind of sad like what these landlords do. So I've kind of made it like my purpose to restore my apartment and just get it back to its original condition as much as I can. So I've restored all the fireplaces, I've restored the pocket doors. And I love old things. And I love that when you step into my apartment, you really could feel like you're transported back in time.
Literally 1890. Yeah. And if you guys haven't seen, you know, her apartment, there is places they can access, right? Whether it's your TikTok, your Instagram, and areas you've been published in a lot of areas.
Tours up on YouTube. If you just type my name on YouTube, there's like a bunch of tours on there.
Amazing. Okay. But I'm going to step this all back a bit and peel some layers just because people may not understand, you know, one, what rent stabilized is versus rent control. Also like your apartment. So it's like 2 bedrooms, 1 bath, 3 bedrooms. Like what's the square footage? Curious.
Okay. I think it's about, my mom always said 1500 square feet. So it might be around there. I feel like it's probably a bit smaller. I think that's a little generous. I've never measured, but it's big for New York City. It's definitely
1500. That's like 3 different apartments, right? In New York City. It
definitely could be. So yeah, it's 2 bedrooms, big living room, baby kitchen, because, you know, back in 1890, they didn't have refrigerators and dishwashers. Yep. They didn't need big kitchens. So
beautiful. Love it. Okay. And then your building as a whole, 6 units, more than 6 units, like
it's a brownstone. There's probably something like that. Yeah. And a very old elevator that has like one of those gates.
I love that.
It looks like a gate that you would have to manually open and close. So
Very old school. I love it. Okay. And then, so tell us rent stabilized versus rent control. Cause I think that's important to identify.
For sure. Yeah. I'll get into it. So what I have is rent stabilized, but let me talk about rent control first. Rent control is what people refer to when they're talking about those like unicorn apartments. So rent control means that it has to be a tenant who has been living there consecutively since July 1st, 1971. And if it's not the original tenant, it has to be a direct family member who lived in the apartment for at least 2 years. So it's not like your grandma can pass away and you just move in. You have to have been living in the apartment with her for 2 years. But what's so special about rent control is whatever price you were paying on July 1st, 1971, you are still paying today. It never goes up. So, okay. So, but rent control is like better, but it's less common. It's only about 1% of apartments in all of New York City, but rent stabilized is what I have. It's much more common. It's actually, I'm not sure the numbers, but it's way more common, and anybody can get a rent stabilized apartment, but anyone who gets one off the market today, it might be a market rate price, but they will be protected from it increasing as long as they live there. So if in a rent stabilized apartment, I believe the current rule is that it can only increase up to 2.5% per lease renewal. So my rent is significantly lower. I probably pay a fourth of what I would be paying if it were market rate. And the reason it's so cheap is because this has been a consecutive lease for many years.
Okay.
But anybody can get a rent stabilized apartment today. They're just often not advertised as such, and they'll appear to be market rate. And obviously, you know, people who do have them don't want to give them up. So that's why you don't find them as often, but it's doable.
Couple of things to ask here. Tell me if I'm prying too much, but are you able to share the actual price if you feel comfortable doing that, or like maybe a rough estimate versus what is typical for something your size in New York? And then so just to clarify, yours being rent stabilized, you don't have to have a family member to pass it down. You just pass down, but if it's rent control, you have to have lived there for 2 years with that person to actually own it. Okay. Back to the questions.
Yeah. Okay. So an apartment of this size in this neighborhood, I want to say it could be like 5,000. It could be a little bit more if it were upgraded with, you know, if I had a washer dryer, somewhere around there. I pay 1,300 something.
Really?
Oh yeah.
My gosh.
crazy. I'm not complaining. It goes up a little bit per lease renewal. So I'm about to have my lease renewed and I expect it to go up, I don't know, maybe $40 or something like that. So nothing
crazy. That's not a lot.
Yeah. And also the rent stabilized apartments, a lot of people think it's like, I don't know what it's called, but based on income, and they're not. I think they should be, but they're actually not at all. There's no cap on income. It's not a great system, but it's how it currently is. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate you sharing all these details. Yeah. Now, quick question here: if say Hattie, you were ever to leave, and you're like, all right, I got married, my husband wants to move here. You know, I don't know if you're married or not. I'm just saying. You know. And you left the apartment, you could leave it behind to a friend.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. The rent might go up.
One thing about my landlord that's great is he is very chill. He really, he doesn't live here. I've never met him in my whole life. I've never met him. I assume that he has a bunch of other buildings. So I don't think they care too much what individual tenants are up to. Since we took the apartment over from a family friend, I think that he probably would be okay with that. I think the only way to get this apartment not stabilized anymore, he would have to come in here with like a wrecking ball and modernize it, which is exactly what we do not want to happen. So I don't ever plan on leaving. This apartment is my baby. And even if I don't live here, or if I maybe, cause I would love a country house upstate, but I will always, always keep my name on the lease and keep this as like my permanent residence.
And there you have it. Hattie is not going anywhere. Hattie is locked and loaded with her Upper West Side golden gem. Okay. So, with all the renovations you have made, you know, I've seen some of these, so gorgeous. You are such, you know, a handy person, like creative, and your house is everything. So what does your landlord say about this? How is this even possible? In most you know, places in New York, you just can't do this in the apartments, period.
Oh, yeah. Well, on like a regular lease, like absolutely not, because there's such high turnover. I mean, a lot of people live in apartments for a year and then they jump to the next one. So that makes sense why landlords wouldn't want people painting and doing things, because it's just more work for them at the end of the day. I mean, my landlord knows I'm not going anywhere. And most people in my building have been here as long as I have, if not longer, like the older people. So, you know, he's not expecting me to ruin things and then just leave it for him to deal with.
Right.
So it's kind of like, don't ask, don't tell, but he genuinely does not care. My super comes in here all the time. He's very aware of all the work I've done. Right. And yeah, I think also like, I'm not making it any worse. I'm only
making it better.
I'm making it better. And I'm also undoing a lot of weird renovations that other tenants have done before me. And I'm like restoring the apartment to its original condition.
Okay. So that's good. That's good to know. I had to ask that question. Let's talk about, obviously, how you fell into your dream career of, you know, kind of rehabbing your home, doing interior design, you know, like you blew up on the media too. Like, when did all this happen? And give us a little insight on that.
About a year ago, I would say. So I started my social media career, I guess, in 2020, actually, which I think was the beginning of 2020. And I think was amazing timing because then the pandemic happened and everyone was home. And I just think it was a great time to start an interior design account. Mm-hmm. And then I pretty quickly realized too, that I didn't only want to focus on interiors because, you know, there's only so many times I can rip up my apartment.
Yeah.
So, and I realized that a lot of people really love New York and want to see New York. People who don't live here, a lot of people just have love affairs with the city. And so I started sharing way more New York content and that really resonated with people. Love and that. Yeah, it just kind of evolved for about a year. And then about a year ago, in 2021, I posted a TikTok apartment tour that went rather viral. And I had like New York Post reaching out to me. I did CNBC, NBC. I did a bunch of media things. So yeah, it was pretty cool. And I'm super grateful for all of that. It's changed my life for the better. And like I said, just allowed me to find my passion and be able to share it, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy how time works, right? Like timing is everything. And literally you have done some amazing things with the apartment. Thank you for sharing it. I mean, you literally have people knocking on your door, dropping packages off, right? We kind of ran into that. So it's been so amazing learning about your New York story and your beautiful Upper West Side apartment, unlike, anything I've ever seen. Aww. You know, where can people connect with you? We've talked about these social media accounts, like where can they learn more about you? See your blog and learn more about your lifestyle in New York City.
Yeah. So everything. I'm just my first and last name, which is Hattie Culp, Instagram, TikTok. I started a YouTube. I didn't really do anything with it, but I'm on YouTube if you are on YouTube. And then my website is also just hattieculp.com. So I share some DIYs. I share a lot of interior design and I share a lot of my favorite parts about New York and what I think makes New York special, which is what you don't see on the news. I get messages at least once a week from people asking me, is New York really as bad right now as the news makes it look? And I'm like, no, not at all. Bad news sells. And what I share on Instagram is what I am seeing with my eyes. I'm not sugarcoating anything. Obviously, there's some not so great things that happen, but you know, I'm all about finding the light and sharing like positive things and what I love about New York. I want to share that with the world.
Wow. Beautifully said there. Beautifully wrapped up. Literally coming from a New Yorker, it's a gem, right? And you're sharing all those gems with your viewership. So I love it. Thank you so much again for your time, Hattie, and again, everything. But before I let you go, there's a fun little game that I want to play with you that I like to call a New York Minute. Okay. I'm just going to speed round a bunch of questions. And the first thing that comes to your mind is what I'd love to hear. are you down to play this? Are you okay?
I'm down. Let's do it.
Okay. First question is favorite New York borough?
I guess Manhattan, but I also love parts of Brooklyn.
Okay. Favorite New York neighborhood?
The Upper West Side.
Favorite Brooklyn neighborhood?
Oh, I really like Clinton Hill or Park Slope. Mm-hmm. Lots of beautiful brownstones.
So beautiful. Yes, yes. Favorite New York food or restaurant?
Oh gosh. Well, food is definitely a tie for bagels and pizza. And my favorite bagel place is Absolute.
Ooh, okay.
On the Upper West Side. And it's
on the Upper West Side?
So good. Fresh bagels. It's amazing.
Noted. Favorite season in New York?
Spring.
Favorite New York tourist destination?
I guess the Met or Central Park.
Okay. Favorite non-tourist destination? Something that's like hideaway, you know, little spot.
I don't know. I might want to gatekeep those.
Yeah, something.
I think what's great about New York is if you look, there are a lot of little hidden gardens, whether they be on a rooftop or in the middle of a side street. So if you look closely, there's lots of nice little gardens in the middle of the city.
I like that. That's a different perspective that I've heard. Yeah. Okay, favorite holiday in New York City?
I mean, I guess Christmas in New York is pretty spectacular.
Thank you. And favorite New York movie and TV show? Anything specific?
Yeah. Breakfast at Tiffany's. Perfectly. I love it.
Of course.
I think that kind of made me fall in love with New York in a different way when I first saw it. And then show, there's so many. Maybe like, honestly, Law & Order SVU.
Ooh, you like the crime shows. I love it.
I love a crime show, yeah.
Okay, I'm all about that too. That's one I've never heard before, so I thank you for sharing that. Favorite New York park?
Central Park or Riverside Park.
Okay, favorite New York subway line?
The One. You never have to wait too long, unlike some other ones.
And here's a random question that I'm going to ask. Are you a subway, train, or like city bike or a walking person? Like if you had to choose that mode.
Oh, definitely a walker for sure.
Okay.
But if it's too far, the subway. And then sometimes like if I'm going across town, the bus too.
Okay. Favorite weekend getaway from New York City?
Somewhere in the Hudson Valley.
Can you be more specific?
Yeah. I mean, well, growing up, my weekend house was in Cornwall, which is right by Storm King Art Center. So I am very fond of that area.
Yeah. It's right along the Hudson, you noted. So Hudson Valley. Okay. One word to describe New York City?
That's a hard one. For me, I don't know why the first word that came to mind was loyal. Like, I feel like New York will be loyal to you. Like she, if it's meant to be, if you are a New Yorker and you love her, she will love you back.
Oh, that is your quote there. That is your personal quote. Okay. Number one tip on how to live your best life in New York City.
Yeah. Like I said before, just walking. I don't know why I love walking, and there's so many beautiful sights to see. And I think a really fun thing that I'm going to start doing is like pick a random spot in maybe Queens or the Bronx, like a borough that I don't get to go to often, and just go like take the train there and then just spend the day exploring it. And just, you know, there's so much to see here. And even from somebody who's lived here their entire life, there are so many places I've never been. So just don't stop exploring.
Love it. Oh my gosh, Hattie, this was beautiful. Thank you so, so much for your time. It's been so much fun getting to learn about you, learning all this. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
First podcast.
I know. First podcast ever. Yeah, I'm so excited.
You did so great.
Thanks for tuning in to Gossipista. Your support means the world. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please be sure to hit the subscribe button and share this podcast with your friends. Can't wait till next week's episode. Follow along on Instagram at Gossipista to get my latest New York happenings. But if you live and breathe New York City like I do and want even more, go to our website at gossipista.com, explore, and subscribe to our newsletter to get insider tips first. Lastly, if you have any questions and or scoop on the city, you can email me at gossipista@gmail.com. Until next time, you know you love me. XOXO, Gossipista.